Blog Talk Radio.
You are listening to the iSports MSU Red Cedar Report, where we don't care how crazy Matt Costello looks as long as he doesn't sleep in the recruit's room. I am Tyler Hayward with iSports Web contributor Tony Garcia. The Red Cedar Report is part of iSportsWeb.com. Be sure to check out that website for the latest sports news and opinions. You can like the show on Facebook. Follow us on Twitter at Red Cedar Report. I do know last week we said former Spartan quarterback Tommy Vento would be on the show to talk about his experience playing for the Falcons, the Bron Vierbane. And, I know I probably butchered that. But either way, he'll not be joining us. Unfortunately, his phone was stolen. But you can see what's going on with him and how the transition is going overseas in my latest piece for iSportsWeb. Anyways, to make up for that today, like I said, Tony Garcia is with me, and we're going to continue what has appeared to be a season-long dissection of Tom Izzo's rotation. We're also going to look ahead to the Northwestern game that is tomorrow night. But first things first, we're going to revisit the exciting game against Maryland. Tony, you're with us right now. Let's go back to that game. What did you see? What did Michigan State do differently that they haven't done the three games prior where they were able to beat what's frankly tougher competition?
Well, Tyler, firstly, thank you for having me on the show. Always good to join. Haven't been on since football. Been busy doing things, so thanks for getting me on. But, I think
no problem.
It's usually not as simple as one change, but in this instance, I think it was all about effort. Michigan State, so if you go back to their past couple losses beforehand, they have lost three in a row. They laid an egg against Iowa for the second consecutive time, which was really surprising because it's a big game, big environment at home, and they really just weren't up to the task. Then you go on that next Sunday to Wisconsin and blame the refs, blame the hand checks, whatever you want. You got to find a way to get it done, and MSU did not. I think Wisconsin attempted 20 more free throws than Michigan State. And so in order to compensate for all the hand check fouls and all those things, it's been well documented. Tom Izzo had the team doing the towel drills, you know, holding it behind their back, holding it above their head, moving their feet, not playing defense with their hands. And they kind of went too far in the other direction against Nebraska. They were trying to make sure they weren't getting those ticky-tack fouls, and they were just getting the Nebraska seemingly at will was getting into the lane, into the paint, getting a really high percentage shot. They shot their best shooting percentage in the game, the worst defensive shooting percentage I believe Michigan State has given up all season. But then against Maryland, in the game they had to win, they hadn't had a four-game losing streak in since I think 97 or something. So, I mean, it was a big, big game, especially for seeding, for national perception, for all those things. Michigan State, they just ratcheted up the defense. They found that good balance of playing a good, aggressive defense, diving for loose balls, which it seemed like if there were 20 loose balls, it seemed like Michigan State got 19 of them. I mean, just little plays like Matt McQuaid going down to tie up Diamond Stone. Matt Costello, just an animal. I know we're going to get to him later. It was just a fan. And Aaron Harris really dogging Melo Trimble, who was able to get 24 points in the game. But I mean, he had to earn it, and it was not a quick 24. It was a volume 24. So I mean, it's really everything you could want on the defensive end for Michigan State, and offensively they did not shoot the ball very well. It was 36-37% on the game. I mean, that's a pretty poor game. But when you can shoot that poorly and beat a top 10 team, it shows the caliber of your defense and what they are capable of playing at. And then that one guy, Bryn Forbes, decided that he knew how to shoot again. And I was amazed that he even had the slump that he's having. Because, I mean, if you watch this guy in practice, I've said it to my friends before. If there's one person who's in college, like not Steph Curry or something, and my life is on the line, and I need someone to walk up cold and shoot a three-pointer, I'm going Bryn Forbes. And no one else in the nation would I trust more. And that's why I was really personally very surprised with how he struggled in his last three games, but he got it back, got it going, 25 points from the senior, and it was enough to get Michigan State a win.
Right, well, you talked briefly about Harris, and he's apparently going to be the guy moving forward as far as the perimeter goes. Obviously, Valentine's a better defender all around than Aaron Harris is, but the situation is so much of Michigan State's offense is dependent on Valentine's production that if he's playing 39 minutes or 38 minutes like he did against Maryland, and then he's doing it on both ends of the floor to that level against the Mello Trimble types, it wears you down. It wears you down. It is a long season. Tom Izzo knows that. Tom Izzo goes through these slumps in December. He goes through the slumps in January. And come March, he understands that, hey, this is a marathon. This isn't a sprint. So Aaron Harris appears to be that guy. You look at Michigan State's next, few opponents, but with the exception of Rutgers, because unlike, well, you and me, we did the Rutgers preview, I believe, for football season. And unlike in football season, we could just talk about Leontay Carew the entire episode. Rutgers doesn't really have anybody to talk about of note for their basketball season. So you look at Northwestern, the game after that, with the exception of Rutgers, like I said, is Michigan. You have Bryant McIntosh, you have Trey Dempsey at Northwestern, and then for the Michigan game, you have guys like
Derek Walton, Karis LeVert,
Muhammad Ali, help me out with this, Rockman. There's something, there's another name in there somewhere. Muhammad Ali, Abdul Rockman, is that it?
Yeah, that's him.
Yeah, you have perimeter players like that. Who knows when Karis LeVert is coming back? And so they need Aaron Harris to step up. Do you feel, because you said it, Mello Trimble worked for the points, but he still got his. Do you feel Aaron Harris can continue this over that stretch of time? At least
Not to mention the best shooter so far in the Big Ten statistically. I said I would still take Brent Forbes, but Duncan Robinson is a close second, and he's going to be a matchup nightmare for the Michigan State Spartans. He's a 6'8 shooting guard, and man, can he really shoot it. But
right.
I think Aaron Harris has the wherewithal and the know-how to keep it up defensively, but we haven't seen a string or a pattern or a succession where he has proven that he can. Do I believe he can? Sure. Because I remember watching practices last year where you would, because he was on the scout team, you would put him on Denzel Valentine, and he would just dog him all practice long. And he was really the guy you didn't want defending. And then once game time came around earlier this year, I mean, he was just playing softer than a baby's butt. So, I mean, it was really hard to understand why that was happening. And part of it was when he would have his offensive struggles, which he did at the beginning of the season, not used to coming off the bench and sitting out of here, we'll do that to you, he would get down on himself on defense and not play. That's why Tom Izzo said he and Denzel Valentine coming off the court into the game or into the locker room last weekend said that Aaron Harris was the MVP of the game because, I mean, he might have shot at 1 of 8 from the field and had a rough night offensively, but because of what he was able to do defensively, that's how they won this game. So I do believe that Aaron Harris can keep it up. Would you like to see a better defender on a point guard like a Tum Tum Nairn, who is out with plantar fasciitis, and I spoke with him after the game? He said there is no timetable for his return. He's still uncertain, so I would put him playing at Michigan as a long shot, but MSU really needs him. They really, really need another defender, especially a pick-and-roll defender. He was explaining to me one day in practice, because I was noticing it didn't matter how tight the screen was. Tum Tum Nairn doesn't step under screens because he's so short. He knows
right.
He can't afford to go under it. And because that's
and he's quick and he's quick enough to get in front of the guy after he gets around it.
Every single time. And he said one time he was playing back in the Bahamas, or actually it might have been right after his transfer to Sunrise Christian. He said sometime around his sophomore, junior year, he got stuck by a screen so hard that it knocked the wind out of him for a few good minutes, and he vowed that he was stepping over every single screen. He was never going to try to run through it or run around it because that's not his game. So Michigan State needs Nairn back in the worst way possible. But I do think that with these upcoming opponents, Northwestern, Rutgers, Michigan, even Purdue, Michigan State can handle those perimeter threats. And it's not that those teams are short on perimeter guys, because, I mean, Brian McIntosh, he's just a sophomore, but, I mean, the guy leads the conference in assists. I think he might be tied with Denzel Valentine. McIntosh has 7 assists a game. He can score at 15 points a game. And Trey Demps, the senior, I was expecting him to average more than 14 points a game. I figured he'd be up more around the 18-19 range, but he can light it up at any point. And
right, but with the help of McIntosh, it really helps.
Go ahead.
I was saying, with the help of McIntosh stepping forward as a sophomore, it helps lighten the load on Trey Demps, because a lot of times you'll see someone like a Crispin brother at Penn State, or pretty much any senior star that Penn State's had over the past couple of years, you'll see them rely so heavily on one player that nobody else really accumulates any stats, and McIntosh has stepped up and kind of relieved that load for Demps at Northwestern.
Yeah, oh, absolutely, and that's exactly what Northwestern needed. Trey Demps had to do too much last year, but back to the point, no, I mean, this is not going to be an easy schedule or an easy game for Michigan State. It seems there's something about playing Northwestern at Northwestern, whether it be football or basketball. These games always come down to the wire, and it seems like Michigan State never has its best game against Northwestern.
Yeah. As long as I can remember, and I've been watching since, I think, 98, 99 is when I started, Northwestern has always seemed to give Michigan State a little more trouble than they should. Whether or not it's resulted in wins, losses, or even a 10-point deficit, it should have been a 30-point game. So Northwestern gives Michigan State trouble, especially in Evanston, and that's where the game is tomorrow night. Let's jump back a little bit, though, and talk about – you talked about Bryn Forbes stepping up his shooting. And I kind of want to get into this Forbes and Harris debate, because you look at Forbes, Michigan State's slump coincided with Forbes' slump. During the 17 wins State has, he's averaging 15.5 points per game. Just over that, shooting over 50% from the field, about 51% from behind the three-point line. But in the four losses, he's averaging just 5 points a game, shooting 22% from the field, and his three-point percentage, 16.7%. And so, to me, it appears that Bryn Forbes, I'm trying to think how I worded it in the article, Denzel Valentine's the engine, he's the ignition. He's the guy who gets everything going. He's the catalyst for Michigan State winning basketball games. Yet him and Harris haven't gotten in sync together at the same time. Now, is part of that an issue with Harris maybe Carmelo Anthony-ing it, I guess would be the right word for it, massaging the ball up top, stopping the offense a little bit? Because when the offense is flowing, the ball does find its way into Forbes' hand on the corner on the wing. But when Aaron Harris is in there, and when he's in control of the ball, he tends to stop the offense a little bit. Is there a way to get both of these guys going at the same time?
On the court at the same time, I think it's difficult, but Michigan State's going to need to do it. They're going to need to find a way. And, yes, I agree with your assertion that at times – Aaron Harris has dominated the ball more than his role suggests. And Michigan State is moving the ball best when they're assisting on their baskets, not when they're playing one-on-one basketball. Aaron Harris can drive to the hoop, I'd say, in my opinion, even better than Denzel Valentine. No one is as good on this Michigan State Spartan team at getting to the rack as Aaron Harris, just based on those statistics alone you're talking about with Bryn Forbes. I mean, this Michigan State team really does go as Forbes goes. You know what you're going to get from Valentine every day. Sure, there will be a little fluctuation, but it's going to be somewhere around the 20-point range, somewhere around 7 assists, and somewhere around 7 rebounds. He's the only guy in the country to average 18, 7, and 6. I mean, he's just a stat sheet stuffer. He does it on both ends, and of course he's the guy. In my opinion, he's still the front runner for Big Ten Player of the Year. But Bryn Forbes, I mean, I'm so high on Bryn Forbes and what he can do that it hurts me when he's not playing as well as he's capable of, because I remember talking with Kyle Austin, MLive beat reporter, at a practice a few weeks ago, and I noticed it last year, and I was like, even in practice, when he misses a three-point shot, he'll shake his head and he'll drop his head, and he has the same mannerisms every time. And I wonder if that was a good thing, like, wow, he's so hard on himself, like he expects to make everything, or if he gets in his head a little too much. And I think it's somewhere in between there. But in order to get them both going, Aaron Harris is going to need to, he's been pulled a number of times for taking errant threes early in the shot clock when Michigan State didn't need it on multiple occasions this season. And as the season has progressed, that rate has died down. And I think, you never want an injury, but having a Tum-Tum there injured is going to give Michigan State more time with Harris and Forbes on the court together. And you have to keep in mind, Harris has been coming off the bench for the first 16 games of the season or something. So Valentine was gone for part of that time, and now Nairn is gone for part of that time. So, it's hard to get the rotation going, but I think it was a bit better against Maryland. And so, yes, to answer your question, I do think it's possible to get them both going. Aaron Harris might have to shoot less. Bryn Forbes might not have to necessarily shoot more, but just be the Bryn Forbes that we know he's capable of. And it all starts with Denzel Valentine and him creating the room, the mismatches, running the offense, getting people open, and getting their shot.
Well, it starts with Denzel Valentine against Maryland. It finished with Matt Costello. What do you make of his play? I mean, look, his play has been solid all year. He was often not getting the credit that he deserved early on in the season, and part of that is, in all fairness to him, the hype that Deontay Davis came in with. But especially since the Big Ten play started, Matt Costello has turned into the player that everybody thought he could be when he came in as a freshman. Do you make of his play so far, especially in the Maryland game?
I mean, it's really hard to know where to begin with Matt Costello, because we keep saying Denzel Valentine is the guy, and then Bryn Forbes, like, the offense goes as he goes. But, I mean, Forbes and Harris, they can each have an off game and be okay. Valentine, if he's off, it's going to be hard to win, but you can do it. Matt Costello has been so unbelievably consistent, and consistently not just good, but great. I mean, I'm looking at this piece that I wrote earlier in the season. It was before the season, November 3rd. There's 5 bold predictions for what was going to happen. I said Bryn Forbes would be MSU's second leading scorer. Many people thought it would be Aaron Harris. I said he'd average about 15 points a game. Right now he's at about 14. Denzel Valentine will win Big Ten Player of the Year. I think he's still the front runner, so both of those hold true. And then this next one is Costello will win the starting center job outright, which now seems like obvious, but I mean, Tom Izzo was talking about he and Schilling. He said they were, quote, a coin flip going into the season for who is gonna start. And now, I mean, I don't know about you, but in my mind, Gavin Schilling is an afterthought. I mean, he's just someone who can give you so. I mean, he has the potential. I'm not saying he doesn't. I mean, he hasn't honed his craft. The one thing that Schilling has done phenomenally better this year than last year is free throw percentage. I assumed he was going over 2 at the strength last year. I can step up with confidence and say Gavin will hit at least one. He'll make one of the two.
Yeah.
And that was not a given last year. So not trying to throw shade at Schilling, but, I mean, Costello and Schilling are leaps and bounds different now. And like you said, it's everything we thought that Matt Costello could be. But when he would go up soft for the layups, when it seemed like he could dunk it, or he had the Gavin Schilling hands early in his career where he couldn't corral a rebound, those days are gone, long gone. And people are always, where's Deontay Davis? Where's Deontay Davis? The reason Deontay Davis has come into his own as quickly as he has and is rising up the recruits the rankings for the big board, is because of how Matt Costello has helped his coaches develop Deontay Davis. That was one of the first things that Izzo was preaching at the beginning of the season. Just that in their trip to Europe, just how to fit in on the team. Because, I mean, Davis is a really quiet guy, but Costello, unbelievably friendly. I think he might just be the most charismatic guy on this team. He's really just a great guy, and anyone who gets a chance to meet him, it's evident. He's not cocky, humble, He will answer every question with respect. I'm not saying other guys on this team are rude, but it's just Costello is very genuine. And that
right.
and it seems like good guys like that just kind of win out in the end. He's put in the work. He's put in the effort. And I mean, now you can see it. And I mean, just look at how much fun he has on the court. It's just Matt Costello is, I think, this year's, even though he gets his praise, he's still an unsung hero. Without Matt Costello this year, I don't know if Michigan State makes a Sweet 16. I mean, he is that important to this team.
Right. I mean, Valentine's a star. Aaron Harris is the most athletic wing, which is a big point as far as, like, grading people goes in basketball right now. Is you have to have an athletic wing, and then obviously you have Davis, who's all like Blue Rolls, who's the perimeter defender. And so, yeah, it is Matt Costello. He is kind of the glue guy. I mean, you want to talk about him being genuine. I don't know if you remember this. I think it was last year before the tournament when he had his little push, when he started getting things going a little bit. They asked him how he was able to turn it around. His words, and I quote, "I just got tired of sucking." End quote. So you're not going to get much more genuine than that. Let's kind of stay focused on the paint a little bit, where we've got about 10 minutes left. We've been kind of running behind a little bit, but let's try to speed things up. Goins and Bess. Javon Bess against Nebraska. He saw all the minutes. Kenny Goins didn't see any. Kenny Goins saw the minutes. Kenny Goins played very well, especially in the first half. He more or less sparked Michigan State to their lead that they had throughout the game. Did Kenny Goins take that backup four spot? And what happens with Marvin Clark?
Has he taken the spot? I mean, I wouldn't be so sure yet. A lot of it is matchup. That's one thing to keep in mind. Javon Best is an undersized four, and Kenny Goins has springs like a pogo stick. And, I mean, he can go up and get it. We're talking rebounds. And Maryland's
right.
a big team. They have Demonte Dodd, Diamond Stone, even Jake Layman on the wing. I mean, he's like 6'8", 6'9". I mean, Maryland is a team, so I think a lot of it was matchup. So I'm hesitant to say that Kenny Goins has taken over that role. But, I mean, he certainly staked his claim to have as much right to be in the game as a Javon Best. It really depends on what Michigan State needs. Marvin Clark, where is he? That is really the $64 million question. I mean, he seems to – I mean, he's the best shooter of the three. He is also the strongest. I know Tom Izzo last year said Marvin Clark is the strongest player he has ever had. And that was Brandon Dawson standing right next to him. So, I mean, he is serious about this kid's strength. But I don't know what to make of Marvin Clark. I think that is really my biggest – question mark still that I have yet to figure out because, I mean, yes, the injury at the beginning of the season kind of set him back some, but I really expected him to have much more of a role. But then, I mean, Michigan State, when they were going well and things were going well, it was, oh, look, they can go 13 deep, 14 deep and just blow them out. And there's all this cohesion on the team. But then when they string together a three-game losing streak, it's like, oh, you're plugging in all these players and they don't know how to play with each other. We need to establish like a formation or a lineup and a rotation that is set.
Right.
And I think Tom Izzo is trying to whittle it down. And, I mean, it's hard to argue with the way Kenny Goins has played on the court. When you perform when you're on the court, you get to go on again. And so I think on any given day, any three of them could see 20 minutes at the four. It's sort of maybe let's compare it to the Michigan State's running back, the hot hand. I'll go with that
yep.
for the backup four. It's really whoever's got that hot hand.
Well, I mean, I think it's safe to say that Schilling's a backup five. I mean, we haven't talked too fondly of him, but look, he is doing what he's kind of expected to. He is kind of a muscle. He is kind of defensive stalwart. Last year, he was just a very, very big, strong body, warm body that Izzo could throw in there. Now he has developed his game a little bit. It still needs to come a little ways, but I think it's safe to say that he's going to be the backup five, but yeah, that backup four question behind Deontay Davis, that's anybody's game. I want to throw one more quick tidbit from the Maryland game at you. According to ESPN's website, Denzel Valentine in history with at least 1,300 points, 700 rebounds, 500 assists. First player in Big Ten history. That's not the school, even though the school's had guys like Magic Johnson, granted he only played 2 years, Charlie Bell, Draymond Green, Steve Smith. I want to get your thoughts on that number.
Wow, you did warn me pre-show that you were going to throw something at me, but I was not ready for that. I hadn't heard that yet. I mean, this is just off the cuff. That is truly, truly remarkable. And, I mean, it just goes to show what Denzel Valentine has meant to this team and for how long. I mean, freshman year, he was kind of like Gary Harris's understudy. He was his buddy. They were always palling around off campus, too. I mean, they were inseparable. And so nobody really thought much of him. Sophomore year, I mean, he stepped up a little more. But, I mean, still, he wasn't the guy. There was still
Too
Harris
much of that.
There.
What did Judd Heathcote say? That high school Harry, well, I can't say the last word, but it was high school Harry stuff, we'll say. What Judd Heathcote referred to how Valentine was playing.
Exactly. I mean, coach knows best. You know, he knows basketball. But and then last year, I think we really should have seen it coming. When last year, I mean, Travis Trice and Brandon Dawson, they were the seniors, and when it was the end of the season, I mean, most people wanted the ball with Denzel Valentine. Trice had a much better second half of the season. He did well at the beginning, slumped in the middle, and then finished with a bang. But I mean, Valentine was like, I mean, all three of them were co-MVPs, media and coaches and players. And so, I mean, and that was as a junior when it wasn't supposed to be his team yet. And that's because of how well-rounded he is. I mean, I see on the big board right now, Denzel Valentine is projected number 19, so our very own Detroit Pistons. And I mean, and I think about that. Yes. What a perfect fit he would be at small forward. On this team. I mean,
one, two, or
little,
three.
Or two. Yeah. And I mean, but I think KCP and Denzel, they can play whatever they want. But I mean, if you think about what that could be, Reggie, I mean, I'm going to the pit, but it's just, you don't project that out like that. I mean, if someone had told me Denzel Valentine was going to be a first round draft pick 3 years ago, I would have really thanked them for giving me a good laugh of the day, because I mean there was I just didn't see it, but I mean Izzo saw it from day one. People talked about his potential the whole way, and he has done nothing but develop and work and grind. And another thing, Judd Heathcote always taught Tom Izzo: draft or recruit coaches' sons. They know the game, and that's what we're seeing. But what a remarkable stat! I mean, he. Big Ten Player of the Year this year, in my mind. I don't think there's all that much question. Except maybe Jared Utoff. Jared Utoff is having a heck of a
year. You could make a case for Utoff. Well, we've got about a minute left. We didn't really get an opportunity to touch on Northwestern. Talked about Trey Demps. Talked about Bryant McIntosh. Alex Ola, he's going to be a little bit of a problem. He's missed 6 games. He's played the last 3. He's gradually saw his minutes go up. We'll see how Matt Costello fares against him. Deontay Davis may actually even get a little bit of time, since Northwestern does like to go smaller. They do like to shoot the three balls. And Deontay Davis, well, I mean, you saw it against Nebraska. Frankly, he's not that comfortable out there on the perimeter as far as his defense goes. So we may see some matchups there that are going to be very interesting. That pretty much does it for us today. We're out of time. For Tony Garcia, I'm Tyler Hayward. You've been listening to the iSports MSU Red Cedar Report.